the dark, I play my dreams. Burn a bunch of blows like sweet screams. I'm the daddy with the know-how seat. Great in the world like it's meant to be. I'm a coach of B.I.O.B. I'm the king. Back to love in everything. Bring a change, making it last.
Oh yeah. Welcome to episode 299 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is my passion. The only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. Let's just hear some more of them jams. Oh yeah. Well, anyway, y'all, I like the new jams, so you know, hope you do too. So everybody, you know, we were getting all kinds of complaints in the past about, oh man, I don't like hip hop. I don't like this. But I, you know what? I haven't heard anybody complain about hearing 80s funk. So anyway, y'all, here we are, episode 299, and this is going to be a barn burner. In fact, I've kind of cleared out the middle part of the program because this one is, you're going to want to hit the thumbs up and you're going to want to tell everybody about this. I was reluctant to do this show. But everybody and the great grandmother is like blowing me up, emailing the whole nine yards, telling me, hey, you need to go ahead and do this thing, son. You need to unmute also. Yeah, everybody's saying you really ought to do this program. I want to know this information. So we're, like I said, we gutted the middle part of the program because I think this might take a minute to unfold. And well, I'll tell you what. If you freak out easy, this ain't the program for you. Let me just tell you right now. But if you're digging it, go ahead and hit that thumbs up. Tell everybody we're live so they can go ahead and start suppressing us. Speaking of suppression, last night, well, I'll get into that in a minute. Let me just handle some of the housekeeping up front. This episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from TwoOldCrowsHomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Living Soil Foundation. Okay, we got a little event going on this weekend. It's more of an impromptu kind of thing. Just kind of found out about it yesterday myself. All the bare root trees that came in for this project basically came in and, you know, we got to put them in the ground. I mean, bare roots, you either got to heal them in or you got to put them in, you got to do something with them. And so, the Farm Connection, we teamed up with them once again. And folks, by the way, if you're not buying their stuff over there, Perma will get you a discount, I want to say 10% off, and they do ship, and they have plenty of bare root trees right now, and they all came in basically at the same time. Now, as you well know, spring is not the preferred time I want to put them in, but hey, bare roots, it's pretty doggone hard to beat, and I'm really excited about it. So anyway, we had to come up with an impromptu class, which is going to be this Sunday at 249 Rollins Road, Marshall, North Carolina. That's going to be March 9th, of course, between the hours of noon and 6 p.m. It may not be the best time in the world for most people, but that's about the only time that we could all kind of make it happen. Saturday wasn't going to work out. Friday wasn't going to work out. So we just put this class together. Anyway, if you want to go check it out, go to the Farm Connection. Well, first of all, just show up. That's all you got to do. I mean, but it would be helpful if you would RSVP over on the Facebook page for the Farm Connection. And they have a banner over there. I've been talking about it. And Brenda Baldwin, thank you for the $5 chat. And I got to get close on this thing with these glasses. So I want to thank
you. I can read them for you. I'm right up on the screen. You didn't miss anything yet, Brenda.
Yeah. Don't worry. We're going to get into it. But this is... Folks, this program is going to take a little bit to unfold, but I'm going to be dropping some information you've probably never heard before, and the last part of it is probably going to blow your mind. If you're paying attention, it is going to freak you out, and you're going to understand why I say don't put your hope in one person. Well, anyway, let me go back to this event. You can RSVP over there. You can just show up. It would be easier if you did RSVP. Because we have no idea who's going to show up to this thing. And typical with these kinds of things in this part of the world, you don't know who's showing up. But look, man, I want to give a serious hat tip to all you folks out there in this audience. I mean this in the most massive way. I want to give a big time shout out to all you people because you're the ones paying for this. You really are. And every time I read the comments at the Give, Send, Go at Living Soil Foundation, and we're, like I said, we're still working on the website, it almost brings me to tears, because right when I start losing hope in humanity, based on the things I see in the politics and the other things that are going on in this world, it's easy to get down on certain things. And then I see people, you know, just giving what they can, especially at a time in America where I know it's harder now to put bread on the table than it's ever been. So many of us out here are suffering right now. And for you people to do what you're doing is it just charges my batteries in a way that I don't even know how to describe. But I want to give you my profound thanks. And honestly, part of this foundation is to show what the good Lord can do. Like it says in Psalm 1, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I think of that every single time I'm by that river. I'm telling y'all, I'm getting a little bit choked up now thinking about it. Every time I'm by that river, I think of that every single time. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And you guys made it all possible. And all you people that send in donations, you know, people that send in a couple of bucks, I mean, that's all you have, man. And you apologize for it. Please don't. And once again, the most valuable thing, that's why I like Give, Send, Go, because you can even put in a prayer request. I find that more valuable than any dollar you could ever give. So folks, if that's all you have to give, it's the most you can give. So thank you so much. You're making this possible. And we're going to show, the idea here is showing what the good Lord can do. Man can sit here and screw this whole thing up. And we're going to show that using what the Lord put on this planet, how we can heal this land and do astonishing things that'll send shockwaves up and down the corridors of power, because these people think they're going to starve us out. They think they're going to push us out. They think they're going to smoke us out, chemtrail us out, you name it. Ain't going to happen. We're going to stand here, we're going to fight, and we're going to show that we can bring this thing back better. And we're going to do it in accordance to how the Lord set this stuff up in what we call nature. So sorry about the monologue there, but anyway, son, how you doing?
Pretty good. As you can see, I'm in a different setting right now. I've got a friend in town, so I'm in June's room, which is why you see a chalkboard back there.
I can't see much of it.
Oh, yeah. But I'm in June's room right now. I have a friend staying in the office. So yeah, I'm in a different setting. Today, I just helped lady just get her driveway established and stuff like that. So if you see any random bits of sawdust on me, that's why. Just operating a chainsaw all day. So yeah, pretty interesting. It's getting nice out. That's good.
Well, I'm glad it is there. It's been touch and go around here. Some days are good, but man, hey y'all, we had a crazy weather event. Now this is gonna, I don't know what it was like. I should have called up Ben and Denise and asked how it was over there, but we had a storm that came in 2 days ago. Son, I'm telling you, it was worse. The wind speeds and everything else were worse than that hurricane, that manufactured hurricane that came through. It was actually worse. So
yeah, I believe it.
And then it was like, where did this come from? They predicted like 20 mile per hour winds. I'm thinking, okay, big deal. But then that wasn't the worst and crazy part about it. We saw these weird anomalies all over the place that we can't account for. Like we had logs laying behind the truck, one of my trucks. Like logs laying there. And I'm like, how did this possibly get here? There is no way this could have gotten here any way that you can possibly explain. Just like laid behind the truck. It made zero sense. Your mom and I couldn't make any sense of it. And then we have these garden boxes that we haven't yet installed. We're still trying to find, you know, a couple of chances in between. It seems like we're always getting caught up in things and we got to put these garden boxes in and replace the ones that we had up front. And, these things were just not mangled, but lifted up and put on the side of the mountain in a way that makes zero sense at all. Like these crazy, weird anomalies that we can't account for. Neither one of us, I can't recall a night of trying to sleep like this, waking up every hour, it seemed, on the hour. It was the most bizarre thing in the world. And I know they've been playing games with radar and all these other things, but yeah, that's what happened here the other day, and these wind speeds were worse than that hurricane that came through. So
we've had super high wind speeds as well. There was apparently there was this. I woke up to the tornado warning alarm going off on my phone, and apparently there's a tornado that touched down just off 259 and I-30. You know where that is, but there was a tornado that touched down there, and since I'm in the business of disaster relief now, I guess. I went over there after I woke up, got everything ready, and I went over there to see if there's anybody who needed help. Went to that location. There's no damage at all on 259 by I-30. There's no damage. But if you go over to 440, there's all kinds of damage all up and down that road. So there was like, it was weird. It was just weird. It's like where they said the tornado was, there was no damage. But down the road quite a ways, there was like a couple miles, there was damage. And it was like trees were cut, like bent in half. We get tornadoes all the time here. Like rarely do you see a whole tree just bent in half or just broken in half without there actually being a physical tornado on site. There were power lines down. And it was odd because like there would be in some of these properties, there would be a tree that was like broken in half, but the trash in the yard is still there. Which didn't make any sense.
Yeah, there's definitely some weird stuff going on, things that I can't at all account for. I mean, these are weird anomalies. And then the crazy thing about it was, is that the winds for most storms, y'all, I believe me, I've been through enough bad weather events. I know I've grown up in the Midwest. Okay. I grew up in Oklahoma, so I know what a tornado and tornado damage looks like. Okay. They usually go from southwest to northeast. And then the worst storms, if you ever see the wind coming from another direction, well, you know it's going to be bad. It's just, you know, par for the course. And what's crazy is that we have things blown from northeast to southwest and then going the other way. And then if you drive at certain parts around here, you'll see entire, like, forests of trees laid down in the opposite direction. And nobody seems to be raising an eyebrow about it. And, yeah, there's just a lot of weird, crazy things going on around here. But like I said, they forecasted 20, you know, high weather event, you know, 20, maybe 24. That wind was every bit of 60 to 70, maybe even 80 miles an hour gust because it happened all night long. It was like nothing I've ever seen around here. It was worse than that hurricane that they manufactured. So, yeah, I'm sure they were playing some more games. And, you know, this is why you pray over your property, y'all. Hey, if you haven't yet, hit that thumbs up, y'all, because like I said, I gutted the middle part of this program because this is going to take some time to unfold. And like I said, if you're easily freaked out, this is not the program for you. I'm going to tell you right now, you don't want to listen to this because by the end of it, it's probably going to freak you out when you see the numbers on this thing.
And we're not saying any of this to like scare anybody or to fearmonger or to get numbers or anything like that. It's so you can prepare for it. So you can get ready for the events that are going to potentially take place.
Right. Especially when it seems like everybody, by and large, when Trump got in, everybody went right back. And I predicted this a year ago. It's like clockwork. And I knew that because it was Trump, it was going to be 10 times worse. I'm going to give you all the reasons tonight where you might want to rethink that. And it's not stuff you've ever heard before, more than likely. So before we get into all that, I just got to point out something because we've been a big champion for, against child sex trafficking. And we've raised a lot of money. We're supporters of Caleb House and Bear Independent and all the things he does, even Vets for Child Rescue when, you know, we were working with them. Does anybody else find it curious that, you know, Pam Bondi said the Epstein files were sitting on her desk and here we are, how many days later? And now all of a sudden it came out today that the files are going to be, first of all, she went on that Polecat Hannity show and said, well, the only thing we're going to redact are the name of the victims. Now, all of a sudden, it's going to be redacted on the basis of national security. Huh. So this plot just got a little bit thicker. And has anybody else noticed that people, you know, the so-called freedom people out there like Alex Jones and Dan Bongino haven't even whispered so much as anything about this whole Epstein file thing? Folks, I'm telling you, there's a lot of people out there. It's what Dr. Shiva calls the not-so-obvious establishment. Okay. These are the people out there pretending to be something. They're in the full employ of the CIA and some of the others out there. Folks, I'm going to call them out. I do not care. I don't care who calls me this, and I don't care whose sacred cow I step on. You tell me, why is it Alex Jones and Dan Bongino said a single word on either one of their programs except in passing, and it's slight, if anything at all, or they bury it in the middle of a program? Look, I've been in broadcasting for a while, okay, even on terrestrial radio. I know how you set up a show. You put, you know, this thing happened over the weekend. It should have been the first thing they talked about on Monday. They didn't even talk about it. Then Tuesday, they buried it. So, look, and it's not just those two. I'm just pointing those two out, and especially Bongino, because I know him And folks, if anybody wants to hear a program, well, I'm not going to do a program on that. Look, I've demonstrated all the reasons why Dan Bongino is one of the worst chameleons out there. He's when they knew Hannity was going down, they had to replace him with somebody else, and that's exactly who they came up with. And I can prove it beyond all doubt. There's a lot of weird stuff going on out there, and anybody on Twitter who is critical of what's happening right now, anybody on YouTube, anybody especially on Rumble and some of the other channels out there, if you're critical of any of these people or anybody in the administration or ask critical questions about, hey, why isn't this happening? You promised this war would be over in 24 hours. What's up? You know, anybody asking any of those questions is shadow banned like nobody's business on X. And I know a lot of these people. I know them personally. They're being shadow banned, and they're just being at downright suppressed. And like this interview, folks, if you haven't heard it, the one I did with Dr. Merritt last night, if you have any kind of ailments, you're going to understand why. First of all, I couldn't do it on YouTube for obvious reasons. Anything of a medical nature, which is part of the reason why I've been telling you folks, if you have any medical concerns, you want to see them. That's why I'm having people on like Dr. Artis, like Dr. Merritt, and a number of others that are going to tell you how to cure yourself without, because they're not giving two craps about what the mainstream is saying. They're going to tell you this stuff, and they don't care about who doesn't, not some mealy-mouthed doctor you hear on Fox News telling you, well, you might do this, and they never really tell you anything. Dr. Yeah. Merritt, and I wish, if I had 3 hours, I still would have barely touched the surface, but I look forward to having her on, folks. If you haven't listened to Dr. Merritt last night, you want to check that out. If you haven't listened to the one I did with Dr. Artis, you'll want to check that out. Folks, do you see a common theme in some of the shows that I'm having on here? I have a lot of healthcare professionals on because, look, if I'm good at anything, if I got any superpower out there, I'm really good at seeing patterns, okay? And we're going to talk about a lot of patterns tonight, but I'm really good at seeing patterns, especially when in the political realm and some of the other things. That was a former hat I used to wear. And look, I don't brag about certain attributes or skills or whatever I have, but that's one I do know that I have a talent in. I'm really good at seeing patterns. And when I see this pattern over and over again, it tells me that the next manufactured crisis almost certainly will be something of a health nature. Well, I mean, there's a whole variety of things that could go down this year, and we're going to talk about those. But that's why I'm saying, folks, if your health isn't on point, if there are things you need to work on, well, here's your time. There's a reason I have these people on the show. And then you can go check out their work. I'm not looking to aggrandize myself in any of this. Dr. Will, Pat Miletich, I had them on the show for the very same reason. The whole reason why I didn't take a deal with these guys, I didn't want to be paid because I wanted you folks to know how serious I am about getting this information to you. I got other people lined up. And there's a long list of people out there to try it. These are decentralized people, if you'll notice. These are people that are not bought and paid for or beholden to any corporations or anybody else out there. They're free agents. Okay. They're decentralized. And you know, people like Dr. Jack Cruz and a number of others. I mean, I'm trying to get as many decentralized people in here that aren't just going to sit there and push pills or whatever else for the sake of doing it because their paycheck or their future relies on it. So, and it's especially cool when you can get an MD, a surgeon like Dr. Merritt to get on here and say what she said. And like I said, folks, we only touched the tip of the iceberg. So you want to check out her material. But there was a great deal of suppression going on, even on Rumble is not a free platform either, folks. I'll just tell you that right now. Not even
from the beginning, it wasn't.
No, Rumble is not even close. You'll go on there and you'll go to a channel like mine, and let's say you watch a video, they'll put so many ads in there. People, they're hoping that people get frustrated and they turn it off. But go watch Dan Bongino's channel. Go watch Alex Jones on there. Not a single commercial on any of them. Or if they do, they're parts that make sense. But check out Dollar Vigilante. Check out Crow House Official. Check out anybody that's telling you the truth out there, and you watch what's happening on Rumble. So, folks, I'm telling you we have an establishment and a not so obvious establishment. So keep your eyes and ears peeled out there. Anything you want to add on that, son?
No, Dad. I think we should probably get into the topic.
Yeah, we will,
because there's a lot of information to cover here.
Yeah, we will. All right, before we do that, folks, Wave Watch, Billy 100. If you want one of these, look, y'all, this is another one of those things. I had her on the show, the inventor of the Wave Watch, and it's another one of those things that might help you in a scenario where you might need help. And this thing does a whole lot of awesome stuff, and I wear it all the time. In fact, you probably see it in most videos that I'm in. Billy 100 will get you $100 off March 18th through the 22nd. Shalom Temple, they got that 5-day immersion event. Barbara O'Neill's going to be there and a number of others as well. So go check them out. And folks, that's another one. Their website is constantly getting messed with. Why are they sitting here screwing this over? Why is it when I have Barbara O'Neill on this show? Remember, I had her on here and all of a sudden I got kicked off of YouTube for a week. Huh? Seeing a pattern here? Seeing a pattern? March 29th, Homestead Butchery at Renewed Homestead. Hey, they also got those Hori Hori knives over there. Basically a garden knife. If you need any of those, go to Homestead renewedhomestead.com and you can go get squared away. We got a few more slots open for that butchery that we're going to be doing at the end of the month. Folks, there is a reason why I'm talking about this stuff. Get the training now because this is probably going to be the last until November when I usually do one with Jason from So the Land. I'm not even sure I'm going to be able to do that one this year, but this is definitely going to be likely. Well, this is the last one I can see myself doing in the foreseeable future because there's just too many irons in the fire. Okay, check this out. May 2nd through the 4th, Mountain Readiness. They're going to be doing not only, well, they got Ann Vandersteel coming in. They got Dr. Will Spencer coming in, and also Pat Miletich is going to be coming in. So, yeah, they're all going to be out there, and there's going to be so many others out there. Folks, you have got to get your tickets for Mountain Readiness, and they're going to be doing a benefit dinner for Living Soil Foundation. So I can't thank T and the gang over there enough for getting that squared away. We'll have to have them back on the show to talk about, you know, the other developments in there. But, folks, I'm telling you, that is the best festival you don't know about. In fact, I can't foresee myself ever putting on another one because they're – you know, that one we did before, it was cool. It was great. But honestly, everybody, and I don't care if it's Homesteaders of America. Look, I've been to all of them, folks. And I'm telling you, everybody else is a distant second place to Mountain Readiness. There is not even a close second in my view. So,
Hey, Dad, I was just looking at the comments. Fed Up said he heard Pat mention you on Tinfoil Hat Podcast, which is a pretty big podcast. It's Sam Tripoli's podcast over there.
Yeah, I heard it. He had him laughing. He was telling them some stuff that I'd said and had those guys cracking up over there. But no, it's these guys are, I mean, folks, I am done hanging out with people that are more polished than spit and more glitter than grit. So I'm just not even going to go to any more Homestead festivals unless A, they're really close, and B, they're doing stuff that's off the beaten path. And if it's the same old tired classes that are in every last one of them out there, well, T kicked this thing off to another level. You name it, homesteading, preparedness, all of it, all under one roof. And this is why, and folks, no, I don't get paid for any of this. I don't get any promotional deal out of it. It's honestly my crowd. These are the people that are in it because they are serious about it. And I'm hoping to see a lot of butts in seats out there because Ann Vandersteel is going to be there. I'm not sure what Ann's going to be talking about, but she's the latest addition to a lot of to that event out there. And of course, Chef Shane's going to be there, so that's worth that alone.
That's worth going by itself.
Chef Shane's going to be in the house along with Beth, and they're going to be kicking. And by the way, Chef Shane's going to be doing the benefit meal, and it's going to have a Moroccan feel to all of it. So I don't even. Shane sent me this menu, and I'm supposed to read this thing. I told him I'd read it on the show, but I keep forgetting to do it. I'm like, Shane, I don't care, dude. If you told me you were doing grilled cheese sandwiches, I know it's going to be the best I've ever had. So I don't even care, dude. So yeah, if anybody's going out there, it's going to be a fantastic event and I can't wait. So yeah, all that going on. But like I said, the big pressing one, y'all, is at the end of this month. Remember, we got that processing class and that's going to be the last one I probably do this year. So if you want in, if you want some first-class instruction, we are going to knock it out of the park out there. All your questions will be answered, and the method we teach works no matter the animal. So go check it out there. All right, with that said, y'all, we're going to go to my man Eric Sider, then we're going to get into it.
Last tip of the day. Today's tip, do we have a right to government services? With all this Doge nonsense going on, it brings up the question of what services are essential and which ones do we have a right to? I have more questions than answers, but to start with, the answer is yes, as long as you're taking my tax money. So what if we eliminate all taxes and start from scratch? What services do we need and how do we pay for them? What is required of us as individuals to be part of a community? Bill Mollison writes in the Designer's Manual that at only 3,000 people, theft and cheating becomes commonplace. So the scale of most towns and cities make them impossible to govern, let alone whole countries. Unless we revisit our scale of governance, we are stuck in a system of corruption and bureaucracy. And just like it takes multiple years to transition from a conventional farm to a permaculture farm, the only thing Tweedledee and Tweedledummer are achieving right now is creating chaos, which is probably the true intention, so they can take more freedom and wealth from we the people, which is the only constant you can rely on each election cycle. As Bill Mollison writes, when we discuss the principle of common work or study the varied roles of an individual in a village, we can see that no person is just a miner or clerk or banker, but that on different days one can be a banker, forester, beekeeper, writer, printer, or carpenter. It is only the combined pressure of trade unions and monoculture industry that keeps people bound with the invisible shackles of custom to those unguarded slave camps termed industrial suburbs, with all their malnutrition, poor housing, and human suffering. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. If you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com. And if you're in the Sacramento area, check out my permaculture community group, permaculturefairoaks.org.
You said it right there, fed up. That's my dog.
So on what Eric just said, okay, so there's a point in permaculture, like the first third ethic was to set limits to population. This is an example of setting limits to population. A lot of people see that old third ethic and they're like, hold up, is this eugenics? What is this? That is an example of setting limits to population, not having cities of like 2 million people in one spot. Let's break it up a little bit and then spread out, so that way we don't have like issues that are literally just because we have too many people in one spot. Like you said, over 3,000 people start committing crimes outside of necessity. Once you start living in buildings above three stories, mental health issues start arising out of nowhere. So that's what it means by setting limits to population, just in case you have an old copy of the Permaculture Design Manual.
I'm glad you pointed that out, son. I didn't want anybody to think we're a couple of Malthusian lunatics over here, like the people we're about to talk about. So, all right, so we're going to get into it, y'all. But first, EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. All right, so folks, this is going to take a second to unfold. And like I said, if you're just getting in here right now, hit that thumbs up. There's going to be a lot to unfold here. And like I said, stick around to the end because I'm going to break out some stuff. This is probably going to freak you out. I've told a number of people right now, but many of them, I don't know that I did a good job of explaining it. Hopefully I'll do a better job tonight and you'll get to the bottom of it. Okay. I've leaked out a number of times, The Fourth Turning. There was a book written by William Strauss and Neil Howe called The Fourth Turning. And what they describe, and I'm going to give you basically a thumbnail understanding of this, but I'm going to try to be concise and simple. Elegant. Okay. So every 80 to 100 years, you have what's called a saculum. Okay. And that saculum is divided into four quarters, let's call it. Or each quarter is basically a turning. Okay. You got a first turning, second turning, third turning, fourth turning. Okay. So these turnings, and this is something that we can document, or at least they do, at least all the way back in the book. And if you read in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon talks about how, you know, everything happens over and over and over again. He describes these cycles, okay? Now, Solomon knew it all the way back then, and I think there have been a number of others throughout history. In fact, I'm pretty sure I can prove it, that were aware of this information. Now, keep in mind, a lot of this stuff might have been stored in places like the Library of Alexandria and a number of others. A lot of it was lost to history for the most part. And a lot of it was kept in a lot of these secret schools, these sacred schools. Well, anyway, Strauss and Howe came out with this book, and I want to say it was in the early 90s, describing this phenomenon. Well, anyway, it's so impactful that every trends forecaster, everybody out there from Jack Dorsey to you name it, Elon Musk, all of them, basically look at this book as a Bible of what to do and when to do it. Okay, so you got these four turnings. So the first turning basically is post a fourth turning, obviously. There had to be a fourth turning, then it starts over again at a first turning. That first turning basically is a post-Christ era where there starts to be a little bit of stability, strong institutions, social unity starts to come around, okay? Now, an example of that would be the baby boomer generation right after World War II, okay? So a second turning is basically an awakening generation, and that's where the baby boomers had those little spoiled brats. And you have a time of upheaval, you know, some challenging times, challenging institutions, spiritual revolutions, things like that. So an example of that would be the counterculture movement of around the 60s all the way up to about the 80s, okay? And that's the era I grew in on the back end of that. So you would have the civil rights movement, you know, all the things that happened throughout that time. Then you have a third turning, which is an unraveling. And that's the period where, you know, some of the social capital starts to get spent. And it's a period of decline and distrust in a lot of the social institutions out there, especially within government. And really in all examples that in really every level of society. And an example of that would be like the Reagan era, people asking critical questions, economic booms, culture wars, political polarization, things like that. And then you get into the fourth turning. And that's what the Strauss and Howe called the crisis. And that's where major upheavals happen. Economic collapses, war, revolutions, systemic breakdowns. You know, an example of that would be, well, the Great Depression, World War II. Let me give you examples of fourth turnings in American history. And like I said, I'm not going to go all the way back to 500 years, but I'm just going to give you just a thumbnail example of it. Okay, an example of a fourth turning would be the American Revolution. Okay, fourth turning. Now, that was pretty bad, but only 3% of America had anything to do with it, really, when you get down to brass tacks. But that was a fourth turning. And remember, in a fourth turning, the good guys don't always win.
Well, another important point to put out there is that 3% participated, but everybody was affected.
Absolutely. Great point. Just keep in mind, in a fourth turning, remember, that's that social, that crisis moment. Not everybody wins. Okay, so 80 years later, what do you have? You have the American Civil War. Folks, do I need to remind anybody out there that more people died? If you take every war the United States has ever been in, I used to make William, when he was little, memorize all this stuff. In the Civil War alone, you could take every other war we fought, everybody that died in those wars, and it doesn't add up to the number of people that we lost in the Civil War. And keep in mind, I want to say it was somewhere around, I used to know these numbers right off the top of my head. Let's call it 700 some thousand. We didn't even lose a million people in the Civil War, but everybody that died was clearly an American. But that was 80 years from the American Revolution. What did you have 80 years after that? World War II. Okay, I want to point out something else. Have you noticed that with each successive fourth turning, the casualties and the deaths have gotten worse? A lot of people died, clearly, in the American Revolution. A lot of people died in the Civil War, but that was dwarfed by the number of people that died. I mean, we talk about all the soldiers we lost. Well, I mean, just consider how many people Russia lost in World War II alone. We didn't even lose a million people in the Civil War. They lost, I mean, depending on what numbers you look at, well over could be up to 20 million that they lost. I mean, I don't even know how many lost in just places like the Battle of Stalingrad and stuff like that. But anyway, these are examples of fourth turning. So what do you have? 1945, when World War II ended. Folks, if I get some of these numbers wrong, just keep in mind that I'm pulling this out of the top of my cabeza. Okay, so, I mean, I got a couple of notes here, but I'm not looking at them. I mean, this is stuff that I know. So if I get a number or two wrong, you'll understand. Just give me a little bit of grace here. So 45 years after, or 80 years, Remember, a saculum is anywhere between 80 to 100 years. So 80 years after 1945, where does that bring you? 2025. Okay. All right. Now, it doesn't have to happen right on that timeline. It doesn't have to be like to the day. But I just gave you an example. I mean, because it's mostly an American audience that I'm talking to, this is worldwide. It happens everywhere. It doesn't matter.
Hey, real quick, Brenda just had a comment saying you skipped a couple of other wars in there. War of 1812 and World War One, which I would say like World War One and World War Two. World War Two is just a continuation of World War One, and then 1812 would be the same thing.
Yeah, the War of 1812. You could even call it those wars in comparison. Now, yeah, a lot of people died in World War One. Don't get me wrong, but like William said, the Treaty of Versailles only guaranteed that World War One would be World War Two. So, yeah, but those don't fall within that timeline. But yeah, those points are well taken. But what we can account for is that 80 to 100 years that we have some major conflagration, major upheaval. And like I said, this has always happened in the fourth turning. This is why these investors know when to invest, why to invest, how to invest. All of them use it. Every trends forecaster out there worth their salt uses this information you're about to learn tonight. But there's going to be some stuff at the end of this that I guarantee some of them know about it, but nobody's going to publicly talk about it. And I've got to be very careful about how I go into it. So with that said, I explained the four turnings. And now, William, I'm going to turn it over to him for a minute, and he's going to explain some other people that have talked about what should unfold in 2025. And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to drop some more.
Yeah, so I've got a list of three different names. One is Alice Bailey, one is Nostradamus, and the other one is Edgar Cayce. Now, they all have like a lot of predictions for 2025. One thing I've noticed with Nostradamus is that he uses the shotgun approach, and like he's going to get something right almost every year because he just predicts everything's going to happen every year for the most part. But what's interesting is that these three people aligned on three major events. Well, the first thing I want to point out is Alice Bailey. She thinks 2025 on spiritual, because she's the one that leans in on the, she's a crony of Aleister Crowley. She's like a descendant, not a descendant, but a disciple of Aleister Crowley. So she's focusing more on the spiritual aspect, not the good spiritual aspect. And she says 2025 is going to be, I wrote it down because it's a phrase I haven't heard before, eternalization of hierarchy. So she believes that this is when Christ, in her words, not my belief, her words, Christ or Maitreya is going to come back and act as a spiritual guide, and all these other spiritual hierarchies are going to come into town and basically guide us into this new age. Now, the things that all three of these people, Alice Bailey, Nostradamus, and Edward Cayce, all had the same prediction for 2025 were volcanic activity and earthquakes, natural disaster events, basically, but they all agreed on volcanic activity and earthquakes, which are basically like hand in hand. They also agreed on a one world government as a result of the end of conflict. So they all predicted like the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. Some of them said specifically the countries, some of them didn't, but the conflicts between the Russian Ukraine front, and then also the conflict in the Middle East, the conclusion of all of these conflicts are going to bring us into a one world government. This is something that they all agreed on. They all also agreed on economic collapse. That's something they all agreed on for 2025. Yeah. And now Edward Cayce, he had an interesting prediction of a new human race. Now, that didn't make sense really whenever he made that prediction, but I'm kind of connecting some dots on this with this new human race, thinking, okay, transhumanism, especially with this neural net that Elon's putting out, this black goo that was just discovered, this new element that AI apparently it that China one DeepSeek just discovered that like, oh, there's actually not a new element, but a new stage of like, there's liquid, there's plasma, there's like solid, and then there's gas, and then there's this new phase, and it's this black goo. So combination of all these things, this is what they all have in common. They're all predicting natural disaster events, earthquake and volcanic activity. They're all predicting economic collapse, and they're all predicting that the end of this conflict is going to bring the world into a one world order. Now, Dammy Stark Angels, I'm not sure if I got that one right. He said, can you explain the golden age reference Trump keeps saying? It's interesting that he keeps saying it because a lot of these, and now we're going to get this kicked off of YouTube, but a lot of these spiritualists, like Alice Bailey here, keep referencing this golden age. And in fact, there's, I'm debating whether or not, okay. So there's a lady at the Sustain Me event that is also pushing this new age, golden age, and how this Phoenix rising is going to turn us into this new golden age. She seems very, very close to what Alice Bailey is also saying. But yeah, I don't think that's by coincidence that he keeps referring to as the golden age. So,
well, can I, on the heels of that, I've kind of teased it out before that, son, you know as well as I do. I mean, and it was funny that the joint session of Congress the other day, Trump was the one of the first sentences he mentioned was being under the dome when he took that oath. And when he said that, you, people like you and me would have, it put me on my heels a little bit because I'm like, hold on. Because I know, just like you know, that the raising of Osiris ceremony that happens, which by the way, folks, is done at the inauguration of every single U.S. president, okay? That over there at the Scottish Rite Freemason Temple, they are doing what's called the Raising of Osiris ceremony, where typically the way it would have been done in ancient Egypt is that the laity of Egypt would have carried the pharaoh up the Nile, and he would have been in the temple of Amun-Ra, and then there would be an obelisk. And I could go through, I mean, I could really go sideways on this, but every single time you see an inauguration of the American president, believe it or not, at the same time, you see a dome. Son, if you see a dome, what's going to be near every single dome in every single town?
You will see an obelisk, or if you see an obelisk, you will always find a dome, and you will always find a Scottish Rites or Masonic temple. And if you look at it from above, it'll always create a right triangle. Now, Miguel Balderas just said Albert Pike also discusses something similar to the need. Yeah, the Albert Pike letters, which is a funny little fact. Whenever they were taken down, when Black Lives Matter was taken down all those monuments, they took down Albert Pike's, and the next day it was right back up.
Yeah.
Was right back up.
So I mean, we could go sideways down this, and folks, believe me, that's a whole nother podcast unto itself. I mean, It's not really that kind of podcast that we really go into those things. But like I said, when he took that oath under the dome, and what is at the very, very top of that dome? There's a painting up there. You know what it's called? The Apotheosis of George Washington. It means he goes in a man and he emerges a god, okay? A demigod. Anyway. That in and of itself, I mean, we almost went down the rabbit hole here where we're going to get off way too far off 2025 because, I mean, good night, folks. I'm telling you what, just on that alone and the fact that all that happened under the dome is a little bit auspicious. So, son, was there anything else you wanted to add on those three people concerning 2025?
That was the main point. They all have, like, they use the shotgun approach for predictions, which – obviously, your chances of being correct goes up if you predict everything is going to happen every year. But these were the main three things that they all had in common for 2025.
Okay, I'll go in and talk about some of these futurists and transhumanists, people that are well-known, like Ray Kurzweil. You know, he predicted an AI by 20. Now, this dude's predictions are pretty astonishing. I mean, when you look at all the things he's predicted and how they've come true, predicted that AI will reach human level intelligence by 2029. I think he's a little bit off on that. I think it's going to happen much sooner. But he says by 2025, AI will already be deeply integrated into, human life. I mean, folks, I can go down. I got a list of, I don't know how many people here, Elon Musk, IBM tech firms, the Pentagon, the military analysis are talking about this great reset. The United Nations climate reports, you know, talking about a pole shift, all happening in 2025. I mean, these are, you know, NASA climate models also talking about a pole shift. Let's see here. Oh, okay. Of course, you got that lunatic Bill Gates talking about pandemics. I mean, how many overtures do you need from that clown? You know, cybersecurity experts talking about, you know, the most, that most financial transactions by the end of 2025 will be monitored by some form of AI. I mean, all of it falls hand in hand in hand in hand in hand, and it's pretty crazy. But folks, now we're going to get into the Deagle Report, and this isn't the worst part of it. Like I said, stick around to the end because I'm probably going to blow your mind with some of this stuff if you're paying attention. All right, Deagle Report. Okay, it used to be an internet, a thing. Alex Jones, back before he was completely sold out to the CIA, I mean, people like Bill Cooper always said he was, and I agree with him, would often talk about things like the Deagle Report. Now, Deagle, it was a guy named John Deagle, and it was basically, there's a lot of private intelligence networks out there. Deagle was one of them, and it was used inside of military and intelligence circles in the Pentagon. It was widely known and widely relied upon. Now, this is one of those reports that freaked out so many people when it talked about what would happen in 2025. And by the way, in 2021, they got rid of the whole website. They got rid of everything, went down the memory hole, but it was too late by that time. I mean, people like Ole Damigard and a number of others had already extracted all the information on there. But here's what the Deagle Report reported. These are the people that the CIA and people like them would rely upon, okay? So they talked about a massive population decline in Western nations. Particularly, the United States would go from about 330 million down to 99 million. But here's the crazy thing about this report, is that it didn't give you any reasons as to how we arrive at any of these numbers. But in, you know, other countries, as far as the UK, Germany, France, Australia, were also expected to see these great population declines. But certain Asian, African, and Latin American countries were unchanged. And if I'm not mistaken, even Russia was unchanged. But there were these massive population, I mean, I'm talking Canada, you name it, all of them. And then it talked about economic collapse, global war, all these things, all the things you've already heard. But this was all predicted in the Deagle Report as far back as, man, I want to say I started hearing about this thing in the mid, I don't know, let's say 2015, 10 years before 2025. Nobody knew how we got to that number. Okay. So the Deagle Report, and all of a sudden it just comes up MIA. Okay, now we're going to get down to the uncomfortable part, and I got to be really careful about how I say this. I got to be really careful about how I say this because, and also I would love to give attribution to the person that I got it from, but I have no idea who he is or where he got it from. All I know is that his math works out. Now, there's a topic of study out there called calendrics, and it's basically study of timelines, calendars, things like that, okay? Now, typically, according to this guy who had come up with this work, and like I said, I wasn't believing it until I checked out the math for myself and even found parts in history that he himself, who presented this, didn't even know about. So, yeah. So I'm not going to belabor it, folks. Okay, so we've had, to my recollection, somebody check me on this, but I think we've had 8 U.S. presidents die in office, but only 4 were assassinated, right? So let's talk about those 4. No, 3 were officially assassinated that you know about, but I'm going to talk about one more that you probably don't. Now, this is where you're going to have to put your thinking cap on. If you got pencil and paper, hey, folks, by the way, if you have any questions, put them in big letters and we'll come to it after this, but I got to get through this.
All caps, Dad.
Yeah. Yeah. All capital letters. And just hold your horses until I get through this because it can be complicated if I'm not careful. Now, within calendrics, depending on whom you ask, remember what Solomon said, to everything turn, there is a season for everything. I almost said a Beatles line in there. Anyway, when you look at these numbers, and at first you're thinking, okay, I don't know about all this. If you see one pattern, okay, it's just one pattern. But when you see multiple patterns in there, you got to at least start raising an eyebrow. And it all ties into 2025. Okay, let me talk about the first pattern. Okay, we'll start with an easy one. So from President Garfield, who died in office, well, he was assassinated, until 2025, is 144 years. That is the golden mean. Okay. Go look that up. 144 years. You even hear it in the Bible, 144,000. Okay. 144 has a lot, 12 times 12, you know, has a lot of significance there. So there's one pattern. So from Garfield, which was 1881 until now, 144 years. That's 2025. That's one. Let's talk about the next one. President McKinley assassinated in office. That was in 1901. At 62 years to that brings you to November 22nd, 1963. You've heard me talk about it. Okay. That was 62 years from 1901 to 1963. 1963 add 62 years brings you 2025. Okay. So 1901, one more time, you got President McKinley murdered in office. 62 years, Kennedy murdered in office. 62 years, 2025. Let's talk about this other one. The dollar was established in 1785. Okay. Remember what I told you what a saculum was? 80 years, right? Around 80 years, 80 to 100 years. But let's just use that 80-year cycle. 1785, 80 years later. Now, everybody here is some way affiliated with money. 1785, 80 years later, who got killed in office? Yeah, everybody thinks he was a hero, but he wasn't. And you can read that book called The Real Lincoln. Anyway, that polecat Abraham Lincoln was murdered in office. And I can make a case for that. He was not what you were told in your history books. He was a scumbag. And if you ever learned the real history about it, you'd know that he was. Anyway, came up with the greenbacks, dead right there in Ford's Theater. Okay. Add 80 years to that. FDR dies in office. Now I'm talking about presidents that were assassinated in office. I don't even know how many books are written on the topic that FDR almost certainly, just like it came out years later, that Patton was absolutely murdered. George S. Patton was murdered. And folks, if you knew the reasons why he was murdered, and like I said, even that scumbag Bill O'Reilly wrote a book on him. And of course his conclusions are all wrong. But anyway, yes, Patton was murdered. There's a lot of evidence out there that FDR was slow killed. They couldn't just do a JFK on him because this guy was entirely too loved. Even though, you know, I'm not a big fan of his policies and stuff like that. But if you check out what happened with Smedley Darlington Butler and what he revealed about the bankers, you know, if FDR was sticking around a while, he was probably going to get a little bit of retribution because they wanted to get him out of office. But I really believe that FDR was likely murdered, even though it was supposed to be some brain hemorrhage. I think he was murdered in office. Well, anyway, from the establishment of the dollar to Lincoln in 1865 at the end of the Civil War, which, by the way, was the end of a what?
Fourth turning.
From Lincoln to FDR, FDR's death, 1945, end of a what? Fourth turning. From 1945, add another 80 years to it, brings you 2025. And from beginning to end, that's 240 years. You got four saculums right up in there, okay? So, I mean, wow. Four patterns all culminating in 2025 with an executive that was assassinated in office. Now, does any of this, I mean, is it going to happen? I don't know. But folks, when I hear people lauding after a man, look, there's only two people that I am a history buff, okay? There's only two people that I can bring up in history that were celebrated as Trump going into office. George Washington and Julius Caesar.
Not even to the same extent. Because yeah, George Washington's celebration wasn't worldwide. Julius Caesar's celebration wasn't worldwide. In India, they're building monuments. In Italy, they're building monuments to this dude. Everybody is in love with this guy.
Yeah, but the reason why I bring those two up is because they're two polar opposites. Because when a person is given this kind of gravitas, you have only two choices. Which one are you going to be? You have Julius Caesar, who had every intention of becoming a dictator and was for a time. And then, of course, you know, a couple of Roman senators did him in right there on the floor. And then, of course, you had George Washington, the polar opposite. Now, there's some issues with Washington that I could bring up, but the point being, they offered to make him king. And even King George said he's the greatest man that ever lived, the fact that he even turned it down. So when a person, I'm using two different extremes here, son. You have one guy who said, okay, I'm going to be a dictator, and the other guy that says, no, I'm not going to take it. And if he did, I mean, he was like, okay, this is stupid. Why would I be turn us back into what we just fought against? So it said an awful lot about George Washington. It's more nuanced than that, but the point being, so which one is Trump going to be? Is he going to be Julius Caesar, or is he going to be George Washington? I guess history will let us know. But look, the point I'm trying to make here, I'm going to go over it one last quick time here. Okay? You have 1881, you got Garfield assassinated, 144 years, the golden meme, 2025. You have McKinley assassinated, 1901, 62 years later, JFK assassinated, 1963, 62 years later, 2025. 1785, the establishment of the dollar, 80 years later, 1865, Lincoln dies at the end of a saculum, fourth turning. Say 80 years later, 1945, FDR dies at the end of a saculum, also a fourth turning. 80 years later, that brings us into 2025. The whole thing, 240 years, you got three saculums all in that time. And like I said, with each successive one, what we've noticed is that things have gotten progressively worse. Folks, the whole reason I felt the need to do this program, and believe me, I didn't want to talk about this stuff. I really don't and did not wish to speak at all about any of this. But when I see everybody just going right back in the flipping matrix and then acting as if, oh, happy days are here again. Well, have your groceries gone down any? Because I don't think they have. We have so many executive orders that could happen tomorrow that could fix so many problems. Like, hey, stop spraying poison from the sky. Or, hey, stop killing the freaking chickens out there. Or all these other things that are simple. That's why I started out with the Epstein thing. All you got to say is, look, open the stuff up right now. But everybody is hanging their hat on one man. Anytime that happens in history, good things don't often happen.
The tower falls. The only time that I can think of that anybody's been worshipped to this extent worldwide was Nimrod. It was the only time I can think of where... Literally, there's a nation state in the Middle East right now calling him the Messiah. Like I said earlier, India, Italy, these countries that hated him during his first term. I was in Australia during his first term. I got questioned about two things because they knew I was from Texas. I got questioned about two things. What's it like living under a dictator called Trump? And what's it like having all these guns? That was the only questions they had for me about the United States. But now look at the Australian news. They're celebrating Trump. Like, everybody worldwide is celebrating Trump. Do you have some people that don't like him? Obviously. Like, you're going to have detractors everywhere. I'm sure Nimrod had some detractors, too. But yeah. The only other person I can think of who was celebrated to this extent worldwide was Nimrod. And until recently, they didn't really have the ability to travel. Like, okay, if you look at Nimrod's day, everybody spoke the same language. Everybody was in the same location for the most part. If you look at it now, everybody's spread out, but everybody can speak the same language with the technology, and everybody is basically right next to each other because, again, of the same technology.
You know, son, that's some very good points there, but also, folks, you have three different timelines here. You got a 62-year timeline between these presidents, okay, being assassinated in office. You got an 80-year timeline, and you have a 144-year timeline and 240 years overall. For all of them culminating in 2025. But son, I also want to point out too that anybody who has ever in history ever upset the apple cart regarding financial dealings, the way things are done in this country, whether for good or ill, and 9 times out of 10 it's for ill, except for I could think of two guys where it didn't work out that way. But anyway, every single time, things don't end well for these people, okay? Take Garfield, McKinley, Kennedy. What do they all have in common? FDR, had he been in there, he would have dealt with the Money Masters. I mean, like I said, his health declined. But like I said, there are so many books out there you could find making a pretty compelling case that he was likely slow killed. Likely slow killed. And had he stuck around, well, all the people that General, remember, there was only like, I think, 9 people in the history of warfare ever given the Medal of Honor twice. General Smedley Butler was one of them. He would have been the first guy ever to get it a third time and turned it down. He would have been the only person ever to win it 3 times. Okay, this guy was as hard as woodpecker lips, as hard as they came. He blew the whistle on the money interest and what they were doing and how they wanted to overthrow FDR. And he blew the whistle on it. And of course, it's one of those, you got to go looking for that story. And you can even find it today, the video recording of him actually standing before Congress talking about exactly who came after him. And guess who it was? It was the Bush family. They were part of it. There was a number of others as well. But the point being is that every single time somebody screws with the way these people make their money, dead in the grave, every single time. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. And like I said, folks, I got to choose my words carefully because there's going to be some Nimrod out there that wants to twist my words and say that I said something or I'm promoting something. No, I'm not, folks. I'm just saying for anybody, think about everything that, let's say all of it's going to be good. Let's just say everything Trump does is going to be good. Everything hinges on that one man. Everything. Everything. And so if he goes away, or, okay, the man's almost 80 years old. Let's just say it was natural causes, whatever the case may be. And whatever it is. Can you imagine all the other things that may set into place? So here you are resting on your laurels thinking, oh, everything's cool. I got my Lord and Savior in there, which honestly, so many people are worshiping this guy to the point of idolatry. I find it sick. I find it absolutely sick. But you're putting everything on this one man, and he's 80 years old. So, yeah, and he's limping around. I mean, I don't know what kind of condition he's in. I don't know what it is. But the powers that shouldn't be, if you think like these people, think about how they might benefit if things didn't go their, you know, if they didn't go your way or mine. And if he's not there, J.D. Vance, really? Do you think he has? I mean, you could tell back when they came out with that hillbilly elegy that they were already positioning this guy to be vice president way back when. I mean, you could see that. So, I mean, everything's scripted. Like FDR said, if it happens in Washington, you can believe it was planned that way. That's a quote. That's a direct quote. So if anybody has any questions out there, maybe we'll jump to that. But son, are you seeing anything you want to address?
Oh, as far as the comments and stuff, it seems like, I mean, I think everybody's in agreement and everything. Again, this isn't to fearmonger. This isn't to scare anybody or anything like that. It's just giving you time to prepare. Like if you weren't preparing before, you definitely need to be. That's what we're trying to get at, is give you guys fair warning, give you guys a heads up that, hey, this is what these patterns, which is perfectly in line with permaculture. I mean, pattern recognition is number one or number two or three thing that you should be doing within permaculture. We're recognizing patterns. We're showing you, hey, this is what the pattern shows. Just prepare for it. We're not trying to fearmonger. We're not trying to scare anybody. Just prepare. And if nothing happens, fantastic.
I'm glad you pointed that out, because honestly, everything about permaculture is, not everything, but so much of it relies on pattern recognition. And if you overlay it with what King Solomon said, and you overlay it with, you know, these numbers that don't lie, like I said, the numbers, do the math yourself, find out for yourself. Like I said, 8 presidents, if I'm not mistaken, 8 died in office, but 4 were, or 3 were assassinated. I may be a little bit off on some of these things, but anyway, FDR, I know that's debatable, but I'm telling you what, we got a couple of.
Yeah. So One thing that I just saw, and this reminded me of Tony's, Jay Fox VII said, I saw some funky stuff on confessionals about how them remote viewers could not see past 2024. That's an interesting statement. He also interviewed a lady who was in one of those secret schools growing up, where she's learning these patterns and stuff like this. Everything we just talked about was stuff that she had learned in school. And the funny thing about it is that she was in school with a guy named Elon Musk. His mom put him in this school. And his particular gift was, or gift in quotes, evil superpower, whatever it is that if you give him a goal, like if you say, hey, we want to get to this particular state or particular business, or we want to achieve this, he, with I think some the bad guy's spiritual help, could give you the roadmap on how to get there. So that was one of the Tony's episodes. I thought it was interesting. It didn't make much sense at the time. As we progress through 2024 into 2025, it's starting to make a little bit more sense.
A lot of it is unfolding right now, but honestly, if you were the powers that shouldn't be, think about this. You got so many people acquiescing, and they're going right back into the matrix like nothing I've ever seen before. And like I said, if Trump were to go out and give everybody, let's say this 5G's, which I don't know at this point, I think everybody ought to be asking yourself, hold on. We were promised the JFK files. We were promised that this war would end in 48 hours. We were promised the Epstein files, you know, what's her name, who's running the Justice Department, who I haven't trusted back when she was in Florida, Pam Bondi, says, yeah, it's sitting on my desk. It's disgusting. And then you hand it out to a bunch of influencers. I mean, come on. And you get everybody just kind of falling in line. You couldn't have a better setup right now. And then yank the rug out from under everybody. I just don't understand why so many people are just so willing. Everything you think you know has been told to you by pathological liars. If you're watching the mainstream media, or you have any influence, or your history teachers, maybe your high school, college teachers, they thought they were telling you the truth, but that was the best information they had, or the way they were indoctrinated. But when you become an autodidact and you go out here and examine these things for yourself, you start to see patterns and timelines, what I said about Lincoln. Folks, do you think I'd make a statement like that I can't back up? Just read one book. I sent this book off to Joel Salatin. It's called The Real Lincoln by Thomas DiLorenzo. And if you go to the Lincoln Memorial in D.C. and go read there what Lincoln said right there at the memorial, just a couple of the statements there should have you saying, hold on, was this guy who he said I was told he was? Read The Real Lincoln by Thomas DiLorenzo, and you're going to find out this was the biggest freaking tyrant in American history.
Yeah, so the good guys don't always win the fourth turning.
And I'm glad you emphasized that, son. And folks, that's exactly what I'm getting at here. I mean, think about it. Let's say you were and everything you were told about the Civil War is a lie. I won't go into all that, but the point I'm trying to make here, imagine you were just you're just a farmer. Most people did not own slaves in the South, okay? And in fact, the first litigated case of slavery in America was a black guy trying to own another black guy. So, your history books ever tell you about that? And that was back up north. But anyway, point being, imagine you're just a good old Southern boy minding your own business. You ain't doing nothing. In fact, you take some of the best generals in the South, like Robert E. Lee, like Stonewall Jackson. They were bitterly opposed to slavery, bitterly. They were pissed off about the fact that they were coming into their country or what they seen. Nobody saw themselves as Americans back then. They saw themselves as whatever state they belonged to, a Virginian, you know, Pennsylvania, Kentucky, and whatever the case may be. And now all of a sudden you lost this war. And now all of a sudden Reconstruction comes around. Now all the carpetbaggers come in. Now everything you had about your way of life. I mean, Sherman's march to the sea was so dreadful that the number one apple production place in America at that time was in the South. Sherman destroyed all of it. Okay. Yes. People like Lee Calhoun have saved or tried to save what was left of that whole thing. My point being is that everything you were told about history is like Napoleon said, it's a lie agreed upon. Okay. So go out there. Everything I'm telling you right now, It can be verified. You can find out for yourself, but you're going to have to dispense with the indoctrination that you have to go out there and examine it. And all of it comes full circle when you look at this, like what I brought up about FDR and some of the other things out there. Folks, I don't know for any with any certainty what's going to happen in 2025, but we felt the need to do this program, number one, because I made so many overtures about, hey, don't just go back into the matrix, that so many people were saying, okay, enough already. Just give us the information. I'm like, you sure you want to hear it? Well, you got it. And believe me, I didn't even give you all of it. I mean,
didn't even get into the last Pope. Oh. We didn't even touch that.
Yeah, there's so much more. There's so much more. But that's why I said last program that William and I did together, that's why I said, folks, mark it on your calendar. 2025 to 2030 is probably going to be, remember, we are at the end of a fourth turning. We have all these other timelines culminating in 2025. Is any of it going to happen? I don't know. But I think you'd be a damn fool to sit here and just business as normal. So whatever preparedness mindset you had when Biden was in office, you might want to double down on it, because everything hinges on one man. And that is just plain, just like in permaculture. Son, would you ever plant just one cultivar of fruit tree out there?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because all it takes is one pest, and then I have no more of that fruit.
Exactly. And the same thing, and the very same, yeah. Your mom left this doggone cat up here. Say hi, Thuggy. Look, you just wanted to be on camera, didn't you? Say hi. This is Thugnificent Agamemnon Jackson Esquire. Thuggy for short. Anyway, I don't even Thug, you just had to take the whole program over, right? Well, anyway, folks, I guess there's no questions out there, but I hope that was a blessing to you. Didn't do it. And like I said, we gave you the Jeep. Yeah, Michelle, come get this lunatic cat. Your mom's probably looking all over the house wondering where this cat is.
Yeah.
And there's probably this half-lutin bed she's got laying across the corner. Folks, the idea was not to freak you out. It's to make you double your vigilance. Because if you think we've crossed that finish line, you are absolutely foolish. Absolutely foolish. So please, if you find this a benefit to anybody else, look, tell everybody out there. If you would, leave a comment wherever you can find podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcast. Leave us a 5-star review if you think we're worth it. Because I guarantee there's not another farm podcast out there talking about any of this stuff. I can promise you that. But if I'm going to farm, if I'm going to do any of this life, y'all, I kind of need an earth. So I would rather not try to farm around nuclear weapons or space age weapons or weather weapons or any of the other garbage we have out there. Folks, if we're going to get through this, we're going to have to be vigilant. And the things that the powers that shouldn't be are hoping that we do is just acquiesce and fall in line. Just because your horse is winning the race right now, or you perceive it as winning this race, it's not a time to go back into the matrix. Anything, double down on everything you're doing. All right, son, anything to add?
Yeah, every time you put your head in the sand, you throw your cheeks in the air. So just keep that in mind.
Oh,
be vigilant.
Oh, we got another one here. Let's see here. We got $5. Okay, right when we're about to shut this program, the money comes rolling in. Thank you so much, Brenda. Keep going. I agree with everything you're saying, but I respect your perspective. Born a militant prepper family, that's what I'm talking about. It's normal to me. Yes, and that's exactly what it ought to be to every last one of us out there. And, you know, to that point, there's nothing else I can say, son, but our usual tagline at the end of a program. Until next time, y'all, stay alert.
Stay alive.
Learn a new thing. Channel and nature. Let the knowledge ring. With roots that run deep. Wisdom from soil. Permaculture dream. Let the ideas unfold. I'm grooving with the truth, truth, truth. Feeling nature's truth. Let's go.
crowd to harmony begin in the cycle of life. For the magic's alive.